This is Emotional Connection with Raphael Kushner. It's my personal and professional passion to help people access their emotions directly. This simple but rare process, for those who master it, creates greater wisdom, success, and most of all, well-being. Each week on this podcast, I share a recent session recorded with a client facing a particular challenge. This gives you, the listener, a chance to see the process of emotional connection in an up-close, unedited fashion, applied to practical, everyday concerns. Whenever you get the gist of the issue at hand and want to dive into the process itself, feel free to skip ahead in the podcast. For more information on this work, please visit my website, livingthequestions.org. This is also where you can reach me to ask questions and provide feedback, schedule your own private session by phone, get listings of upcoming events in your area, and learn about our unique year-long program. Once again, that's livingthequestions.org. Thank you so much for joining us, and now, enjoy the podcast. Hello, welcome. We are here today with Rhoda. Rhoda, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, good. Well, as always, how we're going to begin is I'm going to ask you to just share a little bit about what's up for you and maybe what you're hoping to get out of our session today, and then we'll dive in. I'll ask you questions, and I think that together we're going to land exactly where we need to land to try to create some opening, some expansion, some flow, and maybe even some insight as well. So are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, so tell me what's up.
Well, what's up for me in particular is that I've recently moved, totally located in a different part of the country, and so I'm starting kind of afresh with professionally and socially and in many ways. And I'm hoping to, I guess, get some clarity on how I want to move towards whatever's waiting for me. I want to be open to possibilities without repeating what I did previously, which wasn't a bad thing, and I had good experiences where I lived before, both socially and professionally, but I don't want to be tied to doing things the same way. Mm-hmm. I want to kind of open to possibilities, other possibilities that might be out there.
Okay. So you said something that was interesting and a little different from what I might ordinarily hear. Someone might say something like, you know, I'm in a new place, I'm starting over, and I want to make sure I don't do what I did before. What you said was, I don't want to do it the same way, even though the way I did it before also was good.
Yes.
So I'm paraphrasing. So
okay, no. That's
about, tell me a little bit more about the before and how that worked for you and what it is you're looking to shift and why.
Okay, well, the before, I'll just tell you what I was doing. That makes it easier for me. I teach yoga, and I'm also a yoga therapist. And prior, I moved to Chicago from Ohio, and I really, I don't want to say pushed myself, but I really did a lot of marketing. I went around to a lot of yoga studios to connect and teach with people. I was very energetic about my pursuits. I tried many different places. Some worked out, some didn't. And I built a practice, and that was very good. It felt very good. It was a while ago, and I feel in this move I have a little less energy. And I feel I think I don't want to just focus on, say, teaching in a yoga studio. I'm interested in, very much interested in working one-on-one with people and also moving a little more towards more of the demographics in the area I am now. I now live in Arizona, and I'm finding I'm connecting with old physical therapy clients and people that are more likely to, say, go to a medical doctor. So I feel that shift. I also feel that in my experience over the last few years, I have become more open to what comes my way rather than running and searching and grabbing. So does that make sense?
Sure.
Does that answer your question?
Well, let me say it back to you and see how I do, okay?
Okay.
That there was a very directed approach back during your last move where you would go out and market yourself and connect with the people who might send clients your way. And it worked, and you built up a practice both as a yoga teacher and a yoga therapist. And but it takes a lot of, you know, let's call it heavy lifting to do that. And it's a very, as I said, a very directed and intentional, you know, putting one foot in front of the other, you know, following the to-do list, making those calls, staying on the people who don't get back to you, having, you know, coffee or tea, that kind of thing. And as you, if I'm getting it, as you moved to Arizona and started again, the first thing you noticed was that you might not be in the space to do it just that same way. The second thing is that you noticed that the clientele tends to be a little bit more towards the physical therapy orientation, coming from, you know, a medical realm, and I'm guessing, even though you didn't say it, that it might be a little bit more of a senior population than there was in your last city. And so you're noticing that that the clientele is different, your energy level is different, and then maybe more importantly, that you feel more like in this situation you want to kind of you know, flow with the river and be open to invitation and possibility and let that lead a little more than maybe the assertive approach from last time.
Yes, and I would like to add to that that my experience, even before I moved here when I was coming here for a preliminary visit, I actually connected with somebody and ended up, the first thing I did when I got here was I'm now aligned with a physical therapy clinic. And the connection was not, I didn't go and look for it. It just fell into my lap in a journal that I was reading an article about somebody who was from this area, and I emailed them, and it just, things sort of flowed together. So I've had the experience of it happening the way it feels easeful. And I guess for me, when I go into my head and think, oh, well, that was just a fluke, that probably can't be the way it always is, that's when I begin to, you know, go, oh, I have to do all the energetic work now. And so I guess I'm...
By energetic, I think in that situation you meant like the heavy lifting.
Well, the heavy lifting, what you call the heavy lifting, the marketing, the cold calling.
Right. I just want to distinguish between that and what someone else might mean when they're talking about an energy practice.
Right. No, no.
Not that kind of thing.
No. That I'm fine with. I think that's what allowed me to connect the way I did, the energy.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, you know, what I think I'm hearing is that it's kind of started off on a foot that feels really good to you, and you're also kind of waving a caution flag because the part of you that's not so used to it or that's a little doubting of it is saying, you know, it can't be like that. You have to do all that stuff like you did last time, even if you're not in the space to do it.
Right, and I will add another, if I may, add another.
Okay.
It happened again, actually, a few weeks ago. I went to... someplace to actually check out a program for something I was interested in at an institute, and somehow in the conversation talking with the admissions people, you know, I talked about being a yoga teacher, and it was like 1, 2, 3, all of a sudden I got hired to teach yoga there. And, I mean, I did nothing to, no heavy lifting at all, and it happened again. So when it happens, I almost physically feel like I'm falling forward into this wonderful, soft cloud. And then when I'm on the cloud, it's like, oh, wait, I might fall through. I might, you know, this might not hold me. That's the visual kind of image the feeling I get.
Right. So let me ask you this. In the past, you know, even before what you were sharing with me about building your practice in the previous city. Were you, you know, by nature what we would say is a kind of a hard worker?
In doing things I enjoyed, yes.
But how about when it comes to, you know, like that marketing and like I know that you described it in terms of the last round, but what I'm wanting to get at is, was that something that you had to kind of, you know, push or lead yourself into? Did it come naturally, even though it took a lot of energy?
Right. I think it came, the creative ideas came very, very naturally. I was very good at creating the marketing piece or the ideas. But the actual picking up the phone and calling somebody was so, repugnant is too strong a word, but I just felt a lot of resistance, always felt resistance in doing it. It never felt good to me to do that. Once I was doing it, I was okay. I'm talking to people. Once I'm in it, it's that initial doing, that taking the initial steps, very difficult.
And so now as you are experiencing, you know, the grace of flow, it sounds like there's some part of you, whether it's, you know, a belief system or you know, an old habit that says that even if you don't love all the steps involved, you have to work for what you get, and you have to kind of be in charge of the process. You have to be the general in order for it to hold and grow and support you. And if you are, you know, falling forward, as you said, then it's a little more out of your hands, and therefore it feels like, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and
right.
There you are just kind of saying, you know, looking over your shoulder more than you might like to.
Yeah, it's almost like there's, I trust and I don't trust. You know, I have the feeling of, okay, this has happened. It's happened enough times, the synchronicity of things, you know, and I can, like, kind of step into that little car, and it feels good, but then something happens, and it's like, you're being lazy, you're not working hard enough, why didn't you make any calls today? You know, that jumps right in. And
so,
there's a part of me that wants to say, well, I don't have to, because
right.
it happens.
Right. So, do you remember that old saying, trust in Allah, but tie your camel to a post?
Yes.
Well, it's sort of like in this situation, you know, what we're talking about is something like, you know, trust in Allah, but, you know, also make the phone calls, you know, or something like that. And the reason that I'm saying that is because as I'm hearing you talk, I'm hearing two really valid points of view that live inside of you. And they're not even points of view only. They're kind of ways of being. And they each have a perspective and requirements for you in order to be in alignment with them. And they're very different, and they don't really understand each other very much. You know, it's kind of like they're on opposite sides of a fence. However, what I would say to you is that if you're willing to explore with me the idea of shifting from either or into both and, then there's absolutely no problem.
I'm willing.
Okay. So what does that mean here? Well, first of all, most of you, you know, as you say, is really open to and grateful for these gifts that are coming your way. So you're already there in that way. But the other part of you that, you know, worries if you're going to fall through the cloud, you know, has a valid concern from its point of view, and we don't want to resist it or shame it or push it away. We want to be able to create a space for it to be part of the flow as well. So for me, this is a classic situation where if we get big enough inside of ourselves, then we can have a negotiation And our witness consciousness can be, you know, like an enlightened referee, listening and making sure that everyone is heard, and then, you know, suggesting a plan that can get buy-in on all sides. So what I mean by that specifically here is, let's say the proposal was, I'm going to be open, I'm going to keep looking for and staying in the mindset that allows these gifts to come to me through flow and through my ability to receive and not so much have to push and create from within. I'm going to do that. And so I also want to hear the concern from the other part of me that doesn't really know how to do that and it's not its thing. So if we were going to just kind of interview for a moment that part of you, you already gave a little taste of it. You said, you know, you still need to make those phone calls. But I want to find out, just first of all, when you tune into that part of you, what does it really have to say? You know, like, what is its biggest concern about all of this? You know, if you speak directly without, you know, editing, what do you hear if you just kind of tune right in and then speak?
From that part?
Yeah. You know, so we would say, like, you know, you're just like all of us, you're a multiple personality. And, you know, right now you're going to speak to me from the part of you that is, you know, more of the doer and the pusher and more concerned about taking care of business. So
okay.
It's
well,
hanging,
if you don't,
it's hanging out watching all of this.
Right. If you don't, right. If you don't move your whatever, if you don't get off your duff and get to work, you're not going to have clients. You won't make money. You'll lose, you know, possibilities that are out there. You know, you're getting on in years, and you know, you have to make sure that you're set for your old age, and you know, that you find the place that you want to live, and you have enough money for that. And it feels like it's about money.
So let's stay with this voice, because you can, you know, channel it through pretty clearly. If the job of this, you know, part that I'm speaking to right now is about making sure that you're financially secure, whatever that means to you. Actually, what does that mean to you? What, from this part of you, what do you need? What kind of money do you need in order to feel like you can relax?
You mean like an amount or?
Or annually. In other words, it's about money. That's what you said, and I hear that, and money is important. So what I'm saying is that let's just say that
I need, okay, like what I need the money for would be more.
Okay, so tell me more about that.
All right, so I need enough money to travel, mm-hmm. to go specifically to visit family and friends, mm-hmm. you know, maybe for or five times a year. I need enough money. I need money to make sure that I eat well. I want to eat organically and local foods, you know, that are, and they're more money. I need enough money to, right now I'm not living on my own, and I would like to be doing that soon, so enough money to find a place. I don't have to own it. I actually prefer not to. But a nice small place, to do some schooling if I want to take courses or programs or that sort of thing, and enough money to share with my family.
Okay.
In particular, I, you know, enjoy giving gifts to people.
So, you know, I'm hearing, you know, loud and clear, you know, what all of this money is for and the desire to be able to have enough to do all those things. And I still want to ask you to speak to me from this part of you that is really focused and directed in this particular way and ask, have you, you know, created some kind of budget for what that would look like financially?
Well, I have, but not in a, specific dollar, I need this much for this, that means. I've done that in the past many times. That means I need so many clients a week. That's usually how that works for me. Mm-hmm. Is that what
So you figure out a rough dollar amount, and then you go backwards and you see, this is how many clients I need, whether it's, class clients or individual clients, and you work that out. And there's just kind of a general picture of what you need to meet, the vision.
Right. And I have done that in the past. I have begun to do that since I've moved. I am feeling a great deal of resistance in doing that, more so than I ever have before. And part of that resistance feels, I don't know which voice this is speaking now.
Let me just pause, Rhoda, and say that, there's a way in which what we're doing is a kind of a halfway version of something that you probably know about called voice dialogue. And, we're not actually doing it formally. So, in other words, my proviso is that because I know enough about you to know that you're very skillful and you can enter into this kind of conversation, we're sort of cutting corners a little bit. And when you said, I don't know which voice is speaking, that's part of the reason, because we're not being, super official. But
I'm okay with that if you are.
I'm okay with it too, but I wanted to name it, and then why don't you speak what's coming to you, and then we'll see where it belongs.
Okay. So here's what comes up. It's very big in my mind right now. The idea of creating that budget and naming those number of clients, a number of classes that I need to have in order to make the money that I'm talking about, I start to feel overwhelmed with responsibility. Mm-hmm. And when I feel that happening, I immediately, it's almost like I dream. I say to myself, wait a minute, I don't have to do all that because, I trust in Allah. I'm, look what's happened before. It's easy to just not feel that overwhelmingness. So
is
I feel that inner battle.
Yeah. Is there also a concern? I'm wondering, maybe the answer is no, but is there also a concern that if you go to that place and experience that kind of overwhelm, that it will shut down the flow that's bringing these more effortless kinds of gifts?
I think there is a concern. I'm not sure about the shutting down, but I think what feels like will happen is that I'll shift my attention to the budget making, to the going out and getting the clients, because I've done it before and it worked and it was fine. It just doesn't feel fine now.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the concern is that it's almost like I'm saying to that part that's so easeful and flowing, okay, well, yeah, sure, you did your job, but, you're not very good at it, and you're not coming back, so I don't trust you, I'm leaving. And then that part of me might feel betrayed or abandoned, or I'm not even sure what the word is.
Right.
I guess those are pretty good words.
So I want to bring your energy back to the part of you that knows how to do it, the budgetary way, the responsible way, that, as you say, is causing some overwhelm. I want to bring your attention back there, and I want to ask you to tune into it and see what its real opinion is about how much has already come to you through a way that's different from its own way.
Oh, it got really scared when you said that.
Mm-hmm.
It felt threatened.
Yeah, and so where did you feel that in your body? Because I can say it's visceral, as you described.
Oh, man, I felt it in my, right below my breastbone, and I felt it in my throat.
Okay. So just see for a moment if you can keep your attention in those two places and just surf those sensations, letting
Now I feel like I want to cry. I mean, that's the feeling that's coming up.
well, if it comes up and you can stay with it.
Oh, right. With I know.
Yeah.
But it's feeling, it's from right, like upper abdomen, right below the breastbone, into my throat, up behind my palate, behind my nose, behind my eyes. I feel my voice getting a little shaky.
Yeah, and I'm going to encourage you actually not to report for a few moments. Just go in there and let your whole activity be to surf these sensations wherever they take you. And just breathe into those areas. And you don't even have to understand. Just about staying in a compassionate, gentle, observing mode, right up close and personal. Just letting it come through without any impediment. I'm going to be silent for just a few moments so that you can really have the full floor to do that. Just a few more moments. Keep surfing. What are you noticing?
Feeling some like a humming in my arms and my toes. I had some teariness before, but that like flowed into my arms and legs.
Does the humming feel like energy?
Yeah, like a buzzing kind of energy feeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And from this space of a little release, a little, you know, expansion of your overall, you know, body-mind as a result of you creating that connection with what you were experiencing, is there anything else that comes around this issue of, you know, what, let me put it another way, this part of you that we were talking to has done a lot to keep you safe and functioning and successful and kind of head above water. And that's been its job, that's been its reason for being. And what is coming up now is you saying, you know, I don't necessarily want to do it that way. And as you've described, especially because of that contraction that happened, this part of you is saying, well, wait a minute. First of all, I don't know if you can survive without me, but also, if you can, what about me? What's going to happen to me? So now, as you just observe internally what's happening and you notice the thoughts that are coming up, is there anything more that comes?
Yes, there is. As I was... It even happened before you said anything. As I was beginning to feel that energy in my arms and legs, and I was kind of thinking about or feeling the kind of the energy of that flowing part of me, that it was almost like that was being birthed, and that the other part was almost like a visual of something shriveling up. And I actually feel them physically in the two. When I'm talking about them now, I feel like the birthing, new, going with the flow part of me is on my left side and not even in my body, but to my left. And the shriveled up sort of heavy lifting part of me is to my right. I mean, I actually feel them spatially.
So let me ask you to tune in to the part that's on your right, the
okay.
Very responsible part of you, the get-it-done part. You noticed a quality of shriveling up, and when we use words like that, it seems like shriveling up and kind of passing away or moving on. So that part of you that is showing up in that way, what I want to know is it okay for it itself, from its own point of view, to move on? Or does it need to hold on?
Well, a part of it needs to hold on. It's like its tail and back legs are shriveling up, but it seems like there's a part of it that is still very alive.
Yeah. Now, this would be my sense from the way that you describe it so aptly, is that something like this, that its old habitual functioning needs to and is ready to let go and pass through you and move on. But its core function, which is to kind of mind the helm, is actually something that is really vital, and it is what allows you to be open to the flow in the fullest and most consistent sense. In other words, the left side is the river and the right side is the river banks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just let go completely because you thought you should or because I told you to, you know, the first thing that would happen is that the river would just ooze all over the place in, you know, ways that wouldn't necessarily be as graceful as what you've already experienced. And also, you know, eventually there'd be pushback where, you know, the part of you that you thought had let go and said, whoa, I gave you an inch and you took a mile. I'm coming back and I'm shutting down this show and you're going to make 20 cold calls a day.
Right.
Right. So what I'm interested in is, well, first of all, I want to come back to something that you felt before because I don't want to assume anything about it. I want to hear directly from you the sadness that you felt right after, you know, the gripping sense.
Mm-hmm.
Was it just a general sadness, or did it have a content to it? Did you know what it was about?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is death and dying. I don't know if that's a general thing or just of something dying off. I don't know if it was something or part of me or obviously part of me. But
Okay. So it feels to me that that's, you know, at least in, you know, mostly in alignment with what, you know, I'm sharing with you as I'm listening to you and trying to, you know, draw out for both of us, you know, the core pieces here. And there obviously can be a sadness if, you know, I'm not wanted anymore, you know. Look how hard I've worked. Look what I've done, you know. I've been the one who's been, you know, running the show all this time. And, you know, and I'm thinking of my, you know, Jewish background right now, and the phrase that comes up is, and this is the thanks I get?
Right.
You know, it's like a very much of a woe is me, you know, kind of feeling. But, you know, what I'm wanting to reiterate is, no, we need your core competency, speaking to that part of you. You know, it's just the habit and the overwhelm that comes from, you know, the habit being enacted that it's time for that to shrivel. It's time for that to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, as I say that, you know, I say we need the core competency, but it's not the habit. What do you notice? How does that sit?
Well, I'm getting these visuals. So when I said that about the shriveling up, I kind of got this little kind of, I don't know, like lizardy dinosaur kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the back end seemed to be shriveling up. And then when I moved towards the front of this, the sense of this animal, that the heart part was just very, like, pulsing and alive. Mm-hmm. And then when you said core, it just, it's almost like I want to open that up so that it surrounds the graceful flowing part, so that it almost becomes the cloud that I'm on, that it supports me. Mm-hmm. But I want it to look different. I don't want it to be this creature behind me that's pushing me to, you know, make the 20 cold calls or, okay, we'll only do 10 today.
Right.
So it's almost like changing the shape of that part of me. How do I actually change the shape of it?
Well, first, let's go to your initial image, and I want to tell you now how incredibly, fertile your mind is and right on, because, we even call it sometimes the lizard brain. You know, it's the primitive brain, and it's the part that only has two settings, safe and danger. And its job is to continually assess what's happening so that it can do what it thinks is necessary to keep you safe. And, you know, as I am always telling people, this is a, you know, it's a vital function. We need it to live. We need it to be in harmony with the rest of us. But it has one fatal flaw, and that is it can't distinguish between an external threat like a saber-toothed tiger and an internal threat like a challenging emotion. And if I can interpret what you said and see if it resonates for you, but using this lens that I'm, you know, applying right now, you're saying, I would like to take care of my business in a responsible and directed way that is present, that is suffused with being and flow, and that is heartful, as you described, but that isn't fear-based.
Yes.
Isn't directed by the lizard.
Yes.
Right.
Right on.
So my question to you is, first off, before we go any further, can you imagine that that's possible? You don't even have to believe it fully, but can you imagine?
I can imagine. I'm not sure I believe it, but I can imagine it.
Okay.
And my creative mind can imagine it.
So let's just give a little space now to that imagining. If you could dream it up, and remember, this is not you saying, I believe it, but if you could blue sky it could be however you imagine, what would that look like?
It would look like hiring somebody else to take care of that part. Mm-hmm. I'm laughing because I don't know. It seems ridiculous. What would that look like? I guess it wouldn't look that much different than things are now, except the feeling of the fear and the concern about the money, the finances, the have to do what I should do, because that fear part wouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to do with that.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to give you a suggestion, a very practical suggestion, and I want you to just feel into it and tell me, you know, how you respond. Okay? My suggestion is that when you are in the present moment, and you're noticing that you're called into a taking care of business mode, and there's some item that you want to put on the list or actually, you know, execute, it's already on the list, that you add a step between the choosing to do it and the doing of it. And that step is to wait, to tune in, and to not go forward until you reach an expanded state.
All right, so let me repeat what you just said, or paraphrase what you just said. Mm-hmm. When I am in a place of needing to take care of my business, whether it might be just going down the list and maybe taking an action step, say making a phone call or writing an email or working on my business cards, whatever it might be, before I actually go into that step, from the time I think about doing it to insert a step that involves tuning into how I'm feeling about taking that step and waiting until I feel expanded.
Right.
And can we define expanded a little more?
Yes. And then I'll also fill in some of the details.
Okay.
By expanded, I mean that you feel present whatever contraction you may have had internally has released. And so you feel that you are able to access your internal state and that it is in a flow. So in other words, you may feel fearful, you may feel sad, you may feel joyful, but whatever you're feeling is shifting moment to moment on its own without any blocks internally. And so how you get there is, you know, what you know and what we've practiced together and even what you practiced on this phone call, you know, a few moments ago, which is you turn your attention to your body, you notice what comes to your awareness, and you gently and spaciously keep your attention focused on those sensations and emotions as they begin to move and shift and change. And that process, I used the word surfing when we talked about it before,
mm-hmm.
that's a really important word because a wave eventually comes to shore. And when you surf a wave of your sensation to shore after the initial contraction has released, which it always will, just by the power of your attention, then you just feel open and connected, even if the emotion that you were originally trying to push away is still there. But the other thing is that once you're at shore, so to speak, you actually find that what needs to happen, you starts to happen. And it's almost if, and I look forward to having more and more of this experience, it's almost as if you start to feel that I'm not the doer, that there's this doing functioning in me that knows exactly what to do when it has the space and freedom to just go because I'm out of the way. I don't have to push the boulder up the mountain because it's actually knows how to do it in an easier way.
Right, so, and that's what you're describing is sort of what the other part of me feels when I'm in the flow, when things are falling in front of me, when just one step follows the other, the ease.
Yes, and what we're talking about is bringing that ease to assertion as opposed to just receptivity.
Okay.
In other words, it's easier to be open and in flow when someone is offering you something than it is to be open and flow when you are moving towards something and you are the one who is, you know, taking the action steps. We're used to taking the action steps from a more fearful place, from a more of a push, the boulder up the mountain place, as
mm-hmm.
I described before. So the cutting edge for so many of us is trying to bring being consciousness into doing consciousness and getting the grace in the doing that we've started to get in the receiving, just as you described earlier. So I want to be very specific about this for you. So let's say that you get that urge inside, you know, I really should call that other yoga studio that I heard about.
Mm-hmm.
So that could show up in a number of different ways. If you turn your attention to your body in that moment, you might feel positive and excited to call and see what will happen. And so you would just mark that state of interconnection and well-being and dial the number and make the call. Or you might notice, you know, like actually it is that fearful motivation. I feel like I'm being pushed from within to do that. It feels like a strain. And that's when you wouldn't make the call.
Mm-hmm.
And what you would do is you would right there, you'd say, what's happening right now in my body? Oh, where's the strain? You'd turn your attention to the strain and you would surf that. Maybe you would get in touch with the fear. Maybe the fear would take you to what it's really all about, which is, I'm just going to give one example, rejection,
mm-hmm.
you know, because someone, you know, hangs up on me or is rude to me or says, oh my God, you're the 20th yoga teacher to call today. leave me alone. You know what I mean? Any of those things are results that maybe your system is girding against. The lizard is saying, cannot have that experience. That's a saber-toothed tiger. Must
mm-hmm.
you know, run away from that experience. But if you, if in that circumstance you just surf it, you know, even to the experience of rejection, if that's what's coming up, even before, you know, you make the call, then you're going to be in an open and connected place. And the hallmark of that place is, well, I would say there's two hallmarks. The first one is, I'm going to do this because it needs to be done, and I'm going to do it regardless of the outcome. I'm going to even surrender the need for a particular outcome. And then the second hallmark is, because I've done the first thing, because I've surrendered the need for the outcome, and I'm willing to be with whatever happens, even if it brings up rejection or whatever else might be brought up, the second hallmark of it is that it happens with more ease, as we were describing earlier. It happens, it's not a push. And then almost always in that circumstance, you maximize your possibility for success and even for synchronicity and magic, because you're in that graceful state. You're connected to spirit. You're aligned with spirit in the doing.
That makes a lot of sense. Especially given the tools that I already have to connect to my physical body, to become aware of what's happening. And it's so interesting to me that it seems so, I guess, it's simple but not easy. It's
right.
Because it's right there. And it's what I often teach. So it's very good to have it so well reflected back to me.
Well,
it's a tool that I've got. And
yeah, you have the tool, and I know that because I know you. But I believe that the process of deeper integration and the process of, you know, opening into deeper wholeness is one in which we find these pockets where it's harder for us to bring our tools. In other words, when we see how to apply them in these particular places that we haven't done it so well before, it doesn't give the lie to all of the great practice that we already have and all the great results. It just shows us, oh, here's an area where, you know, I can integrate more fully what I already know and who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that it's the challenge that, you know, we've talked about is because it's connected to survival and therefore to that primitive brain. So wherever anybody finds that coming up, it creates a kind of a blind spot. We're sort of led, by the pusher inside of us that's trying to, you know, keep us safe, and it's a little harder to stay awake and apply the tools. And just to be really clear, this razor's edge between being and doing is really where it's at for even the most advanced practitioners. You know, this is the challenge. We live in a doing society. We've opted out in some ways to grow our being facility, and now we realize that they're both necessary. And when,
yeah,
when we can unify them in an open and connected state, they each bless the other. But that is,
yeah,
the razor's edge.
Right, and I really, that is something that I actually wrote down as you were speaking, because I know for myself that I'm a really good beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good at being.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty good at doing, although I'm getting tired of doing.
Uh-huh.
But what I wrote down was, when you said bringing the being into the doing,
mm-hmm,
to actually, that they're not two separate things.
Right.
And that one can actually become like, it's almost like when you're mixing, I'm thinking of a cake mix,
mm-hmm,
you know, and that you've got, you know, chocolate and the white, and you're marbleizing it, you know, you're pouring one into the other, and they both flow.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be, well, okay, tomorrow I'll be doing this, this, and this, but, you know, in the evening I'll just be being. I'm going to sit, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to whatever. But to, that's such a wonderful flow and an action that you're at, to bring the being into the doing. It's very active, it's very alive.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, you know, there are, well, there's two things I want to add. One of them is that when you're not loving what you're doing, and by loving in this context, I mean not infusing it with being, not accepting it 100%, when you're not loving what you're doing, somehow what you're doing will suck.
Yeah.
It will suck because it's painful for you, but even in terms of results, I mean, you're really crimping the flow. And that's going to show up. It's going to show up in how you speak to the person on the phone. You're not going to be at your greatest ease. You're not going to find that joke that just kind of comes out of your mouth without even thinking of it that sets everyone at ease. Suddenly, you're not going to have that intuition that you might have otherwise. We're like, wait a minute, I don't know why, but I have a feeling. Do you know this other teacher from Chicago named so and so? And it turns out, you know, they went to school together. You don't even know how you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of wisdom and intuition isn't available to you when you're not loving what you're doing. That's the first thing I wanted to say. But the second thing that I wanted to say is that when you are bringing being into doing, you recognize that all I need to ask myself is, what has to happen right now in this moment? Because before I described heavy lifting. And it mm-hmm. is heavy when you look at the whole list, and there's 25 things on the list, and it feels like a big old brick, you know, that's smashing your head. But when I ask the question, when I look at my day and I go, oh, look at that day, I immediately shut down, and I don't want to do any of it. You know, I just want to take a nap. But then when I move through the contraction, as I was describing to you, and I open back up, I resume my connection to self and spirit and body and emotion. Then I go back to the list and I say, what's the thing that I need to do right now? And something always arises, and I'm able to just do it and get out of the way. And when I say get out of the way, I refer to what I mentioned before, which is even just let the doing happen. And there's a part of me that knows how to do that being, I mean, to do that doing in beingness or in flow, and then I realize the next, oh, I've done that, and it actually creates energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm energized because I'm out of the way and the flow is happening, and then I look and I say, what do I need to do next? So just like when we are practicing emotional connection, we are feeling each sensation in a kind of microscopic moment-by-moment flow, we can do the same thing in terms of our list. You know, we don't have to make 10 calls this moment. It's impossible. We don't even have to make this call right now until we're in an expanded state. So going back to the, you know, simple but, you know, not easy instruction from before is, if you're noticing that being hasn't infused doing, if you're not loving what you're about to do, then, you know, just add that whatever it is, 20 seconds or 2 minutes or 3 minutes, and wait. And surf and only make the call when the call seems almost to be happening, you know, all on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And to be even more realistic about it, there may be times when you do that and the answer that comes back to you is not today or not this hour. You know, it just doesn't feel right. It's just not the activity that is really the most urgent or that is really suiting your state of mind, because there's yet another refinement to everything we're talking about, which is recognizing when you are in flow what being state is arising and what doing project best matches that being state. I always like to joke about this because around house cleaning. Because most people know that there's a house cleaning consciousness, and that when you notice it, and you get on the vacuum cleaner like it was a horse, and you ride it, then you turn on the music. You know, you feel kind of peaceful, and it seems like, you know, wow, you've got all this energy for house cleaning, and it's kind of easy and even a little bit enjoyable. But if you miss that wave. And then you have to clean the house when it's the last thing you want to do. It's an entirely different kind of experience. So matching being states to doing projects can really take it to the next level and allow you to have more and more and more flow and success in what we're talking about.
I'm writing that one down. Matching being states to doing projects. Because I always have a list, so
mm-hmm.
it's
right,
almost...
And if you, there's something that happens when you... If you ask the lizard what you should do next, the lizard will say something like, it's all important, you have to do it now. Right?
Right.
And also... When you look at the list, there may be something that has to be done right away, but it may actually be that there's some freedom in the doing all of those. And you can even, from the state of openness and being, look at the list and see, where am I called? I mean, I know for myself, when I'm in my office, there's emails to answer, there's phone calls to make, there's research to do, there's snacks to have, there's exercise to take a break to do. And a lot of times, I'm really my own boss. And even if somebody works for an employer, a lot of their day is unstructured, and they're left to their own devices to figure out the order. And I get a lot of joy and empowerment from knowing that moment by moment, I can do that matching. And, most days, it makes what maybe other people would think of as drudgery just feel... sweet.
It's also as you're speaking, I'm plugging into, oh yeah, I've felt that, I do that. It's the awareness of it. It's it's having that witness consciousness to that's what's happening, that I'm allowing myself to be in the moment, to be present. If I feel a contraction, to feeling my body, to knowing what's going on, to feeling the shift, to looking at my list, to going, ooh, that's where I want to go now. Just the awareness of it adds to, even when it happens kind of in a flowing way, the awareness of it adds so much to it.
Absolutely. And you have that ability to, bring that awareness forward and to cultivate that awareness ever more. And as I mentioned before, where we all have the greatest trouble bringing it to bear is, when the lizard, pounces, and when we feel somehow that there's something that we must do that we're not allowed to do from being consciousness because some emergency has arisen that takes precedence. And what we want to do as we did a little bit in our session today is we want to honor the lizard, but just make it clear that, first of all, the lizard doesn't run the show and that its great gifts can be integrated in a fluid way to, other parts of you and the more being parts of you. So that's why, what I really want to emphasize is that one practical step. And what that means really is that you bracket your to-do list and you bracket even the feeling inside of yourself of must do something now. Every time you see that, inside of yourself or see it reflected on a list that you made, or a post-it note, just remember, okay, I'll do it, but not unless, and until I'm expanded. So getting into a state of beingness is always the first item on your to-do list.
Number one.
Yep. And like I said, you need to bring a little extra attention there. So do we all. But if you're willing to do that, then all of your powers of awareness and connection are going to really serve you, in a great way, because, this is sort of your next step, and it's so great that you moved, and it's so great that you're willing to do it a different way, and that you're willing to explore this, because, You know what it was like the other way. You're called to something that's more peaceful, and here's your opportunity, and you're saying, I'm going to seize it. And I think that these slight adjustments or refinements will make all the difference, and then you will be able to actually not just model this but even teach it to other people. You'll be able to say, yes, it is possible to do more than I ever could have before and experience more success than I ever could have before as a result of bringing the being into the doing.
Well, as they say, Raphael, from your mouth to God's ear.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, God, Allah, whatever you want to call him or her, that spirit has been here in the background our whole conversation, saying,
"Yeah,
trust in me, and bring the being into the doing, and I'll be right there with you." And actually, to be really honest, that is one of the things that I believe most deeply, is that, you know, spirit is respectful. When you won't go somewhere, it doesn't go there. And then when you say, I'm ready to go there, it says, oh, great, I've been waiting for you. I'm right here.
Right.
So that's why I really feel that this process we're talking about allows you to create from spirit, to create from source. And that's why it can be joyful, and you can exceed your own expectations.
Well, I'm smiling.
Well, good. Well, let's close our talk today with a smile, and I want to thank you so much for traveling, and I look forward to hearing how it goes for you.
Okay, and I really appreciate your guidance.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you. You've been listening to Emotional Connection with Raphael Kushner. Our theme music is by Stephen Walters. For more information on this work, please visit my website, livingthequestions.org. This is also where you can reach me to ask questions and provide feedback, schedule your own private session by phone, get listings of upcoming events in your area, and learn about our unique year-long program. Once again, that's livingthequestions.org. Thank you for joining us, and here's to emotional connection.